it okay if you feel frustrated because you're like, I really need to pay this bill. And at the same time, do we force it and maybe miss bigger opportunities? Do we sit back and do we just trust that, okay, I know I'm going to put this out there, that I'm being protected and being guided, abundance will flow through me. It's going to be okay.
Welcome to Created Creative. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Ruth.
How was your week?
Oh, my week has been good. Yeah, here we are in the thick of Lent, and we have a Synod-authorized minister who's been doing some training at our church, and so it's been kind of fun. This Sunday, she's preaching her first sermon ever, so it's very exciting to see it all through her eyes, and she's great. How about you?
I had a podcast-related excitement.
Really? What happened?
I coach a lot of people to fill out their Lilly grants.
Oh.
I think you had a Lilly grant. So yes. It's like you write all this stuff and you have to tell a compelling story and what makes your heart sing. Mm-hmm. So I help people with both visioning and also I have an English major. And one of the people wants to center her Lilly, what are they called? Renewal grants.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So her sabbatical and her renewal that Lilly would potentially fund is around storytelling. And So I said, we just had a podcast guest who is the Moth Story Slam winner, and she does congregational storytelling, and she hired her.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's a very cool connection. I love that.
Yeah. Last week's guest, we got her some business. I know they're not on here to get business, but I love that happened.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah. So that's fun.
The Created Creative podcast is changing lives.
Changing lives. Making things possible.
Opening doors left and
opening
right.
Opening doors.
Yeah. The connections that can happen.
And yeah. And we had our first guest that you connect with all the time.
Yes.
In real life, in person.
Yes. She lives in my community and that's how I know her. And it was nice to have someone that is actually local. Her name's Diane and she's made several things for Consecrate over the last 4 years. So she makes magical potions.
Wow. But she referred to a previous business and I think she knew you knew what it was, but I did not. So
yeah.
Was it Itty Bitty? Is that what she said?
Yeah, I think it was called Itty Bitty. And she made clever signs and things for shelves. And it might have been more than that, but I remember the cute little signs that she would make and sell.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. So when she says that in the interview, all of us will know. I was just thinking, we haven't had a lot of people who sell products.
Yeah, she creates her own products and the recipes for the products, and then she sells them both locally and in shops and in subscription boxes, apparently, now.
And has the lovely space in her life to let it grow somewhat in a Zen organic manner.
Yeah.
Is her vibe in real life that way?
Very much. She's very much listening for the next thing and works hard to create that space. And you know how some creators and some entrepreneurs have a real hustle mentality. Diane is much more, let's see what happens. Let's be open to what happens. And that's really beautiful too, I think.
Yeah. People say that works really well. I'm not ever in a position where I feel like I always must make sure things are lined up. I do not have perhaps the kind of safety net that she does.
Yeah, me too. I'm much more frantic. I wonder.
Frantic. We need to learn from her.
Yeah. But I was thinking too about, there's probably a book about this already, but like the Enneagram in entrepreneur or something, or the Myers-Briggs personality types and entrepreneurs. What are you on the Enneagram? Did we talk about this yet?
I'm a 3, the achiever. I scream entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And you're 4?
I'm a 4. Yeah.
So of course you curate beautiful things.
I like to do that. Yes. And I like to be self-absorbed and tell people about them.
And think deeply.
Yeah.
Yes, we need you.
But it'd be interesting to know what Diane is, because she definitely approaches her business differently than a lot of people we've talked to.
I can guess some numbers that would be more go with the flow, but you're not supposed to guess somebody else's Enneagram number. They're supposed to discover it on their own.
Yes, that's true. So enjoy this podcast today with Diane.
Diane of an unknown Enneagram number. Hello, thanks for coming.
Hi. Thank you.
Tell me, how do you know each other?
Diane and I know each other through yoga. That's how we met. Diane is also a very creative person. And so she has made several items for Consecrate. And she's our first guest who actually lives very close to me. And so Thank you for being our first local to me guest, Diane.
Well, thank you. It's an honor.
And you'll have all your inside jokes from your town.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there's so many. But Diane, for our listeners who aren't familiar with you or your work, would you mind sharing just a little bit about yourself as we get going?
Yeah, I'm Diane. I own Well Nurtured with Diane. I just rebranded myself a little over a year ago. I owned a business, Little Diddy, for 11 or 12 years. I don't really know anymore. Probably 9. Who knows? But then I felt this shift happening within me that I was ready to let that go and move more into my spiritual energy work, my yoga, and really find products that I stood behind. Not that I didn't stand behind my Little Diddy. That was just a different healing cycle in my creativity. Now it just feels like nurturing products, nurturing myself and others. Then I also have twins that are 10. I have a little girl that's 3. So I'm a busy mom. I sub at the school. I teach yoga at a couple places. I own my own business and I try to do sessions there and everywhere.
That's yes. Me. And yeah. Most recently have a space that you are trying to figure out what you are going to do with this space. Yeah. You have lots of ideas, right?
Yeah, so I just signed a lease. So now before I just hopped in there, I paid by the hour, I just had the flexibility. And then I ran away from them and I tried to do stuff elsewhere, but I keep finding my way back there. And every time in this seller space, I just feel home. I feel growth, not just for me, but for other spiritual healers, entrepreneurs. So I'm really hoping in this next year to find the progression of what that looks like, not only for myself, but helping, empower, and lift other people.
Yeah.
So what exactly is happening in the space right now?
It's a massage table, and I do my Reiki energy work, which is a Japanese healing technique, if you're not familiar with it. We use symbols to put into people's bodies to just find that balance and harmony. We can help shift blocks, just finding that rest, that comfort that people need, that touch people need. And then so we're starting to bring in a little bit of yoga. I don't want it to be a studio, but options for some instructors to kind of come in, like with that Kundalini yoga or gentle yoga with a little bit of energy work mixed in it. So I'm doing a pop-up next week where I have a bunch of entrepreneurs coming in and sharing their products and holding space for them and really just getting the word out there. There's so many cool people in the community and space to grow. And I want just to empower them in that space. People can come and rent and just hang out and chat. There's options for growth down there for all kinds of things.
I love how you are just so good at listening for the next thing and what do I feel led toward doing and what you're doing with helping provide space for other people too. It's just really cool. Could you tell us a little bit more about how you got into the Reiki? Because yeah. I think that's so interesting.
Yeah. So I was 22 when I had my first miscarriage. And it was a few years or so, 3 maybe years, and still nothing was happening. I started to feel really lost. I was depressed at times. I lost myself. I was feeling disconnected with my husband. And we just like, why can't we grow our family? And why are we having this road bump here? At that time in our life, I never really heard much about miscarriage. So it felt unfamiliar to me. And social media wasn't really huge at that point either. So I had reached out to a friend and she's like, I think you need to have some Reiki. There's a blockage in you that's not allowing you to conceive. So I met this beautiful soul, Carissa, who held space for me for up until she passed 3 years ago. And she was a massage therapist. She did Reiki. We did soul journaling. She was my coach. So she really helped me in my infertility journey that whole entire time. I had 11 pregnancies from 22 until 3 years ago. So I'm 34. I don't know how old this was. I want to have my last baby. I said no, that.
Doctors always ask
you that. I'm like, how old am I right now? I don't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just really helped guide me. And I just even feel in my own work, I feel that pull towards infertility. And so that just opened up that chapter of me receiving it. And then 4 years ago, so 2020, I had this vision. I was meant to do this for other people. I mean, it was scary. And I was like, I don't feel like this is for me, but everything was aligning. And then the weekend that pulled up was from my first original lady that had connected me to Kurpa, my soul coaching Reiki lady. So it just felt natural and organic, and it felt right. And my body said yes. So I went to my training and I did my Reiki 1 and 2, and I had my attunement, which are like a meditation experience. And I just felt this deeper connection to God that I've never had in my whole entire life. I just felt, holy moly, this is it. This is where my next step is, my growth. And it's taken me 4 years to really feel into that. And I'm okay with that space because I also was pregnant with my final child. That was a complete miracle. My twins were IVF. So to get to where I was, it's just a beautiful journey, and I can talk all day about it. But yeah, there is a lot of healing and growth in both chapters of my life. And it all started with Reiki.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing about that. Tell us a little bit about one of your most enjoyable creative experiences.
Oh, gosh. When I went to college, I went for retail management, and I actually got a job at Shields in Fargo, and I got to eventually become the display manager. I feel like that's where my creativity really started. And I was able to travel to the new stores. I was helping set up. I was teaching new leaders that came in. And I think that's where I really felt the door open. And then so when I left there after 6 years, I believe it was, and I stayed home with my twins, when little Diddy opened up for me. And I know it's that it's one certain experience, but I feel like it's just like those stepping stones to that creativity within me. It started there as that first chapter, and then that little ditty allowed me to find healing in myself. I think we talked about that a little bit, Ruth, yesterday, of like how I could find laughter with my signs and bring it to people and really feel the joy from them and feeling their laughter vibrate through me, because I was going through miscarriage after miscarriage. And then that creative journey and experience healed me in so many layers and ways in my life.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And do you still make a few little signs, or?
I do. I keep trying
totally
to let it go, but I just can't. It's officially closed, but I keep sneaking in my signs because I still do love them. And I prop them up with my Well Nurtured products. I get events and that. And it's still fun to feel that laughter. Like, it just brings me to that time of how sad I felt inside, even though my face was unhappy. I was almost like this mask on my face. So to bring that in, bring that joy, and I hear people laugh. It resonates through me. So yeah, it's still alive and a part of me in some small ways.
Yeah. Let's see. The things that you've made for Consecrate so far, you've made a magnesium roller.
Mm-hmm. That was the first thing we started with.
Mm-hmm. Then there was a magnesium butter.
Yeah.
And both of those, super popular, one of the most popular things we've had. Could you just talk for a few minutes about the benefits of magnesium?
Because
I think that's so interesting.
Yeah. The reason I started the magnesium product is because I was taking an internal powder, and I found out it was on the bad list of ingredients, and I never felt a difference taking it. I really did my research and looked, and I was like, okay, like, I know our pores just absorb so much faster, and anything we can put on our skin, we can feel the benefits within, for some people, 10 to 15 minutes. So we're all deficient in magnesium. And then whatever we are getting, we're depleting it with coffee, alcohol, all that kind of stuff. So we're showing these symptoms in our body, like for muscles, headaches, aches and pains, restless legs, we're not being able to sleep good. So we're trying to find a way to supplement it. And what I make is pure ingredients. It's something I use every day, and I can tell that I miss 2 days in my own body. So being able to spray the spray on, and then that's just a little butter. It's bread, so they can just put it on your aches and pains. When in doubt, always put it on the bottom of your feet, because we have so many pores that it can just soak in, and then you can feel the benefit right away.
That's so cool. Diane just makes all these magical elixirs.
You're like a sorcerer.
Right. Yeah. And it's so simple, but it's such a miracle. The things that I've heard and the feedback of how it has helped so many people really brings me back to why I started this. First, I started it for myself. And then I was like, wait, no, others maybe need to do this. And that's where that Well Nurtured came in. I really want to just give in ways that make people feel good. And if this helps them sleep or find that ache in their pain, and it helps them to manage through the day, I feel like that brings me a purpose and light.
But, and I have to say, the third thing that she made was a dry shampoo, which is just so good. And Dawn, I'll have to send you some because it's
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's so good. And it smells so good and it's just wonderful.
I could use it at this moment.
But my vision of you, Diane, I picture you at your house in a little laboratory you've made, making all these magical things. But could you tell us a little bit about your creative process as you make these things?
I'm being honest. I struggle at this right now. Like, I feel like with Little Zitty, I had my whole system. Everything was laid out right now. All my products are in this beautiful cover. They look so nice lined up. And then it's just, oh, but now it's time to make. So I clear off my table, sanitize everything. And it's really on my kitchen table that is the barnwood of my family farm that my husband made. And so I just feel like that energy and then me creating in that space just feels right. Like having that natural light come in, I can see long term there's going to be expansion. But right now it's just makeshift. It's nothing pretty, but it's just that makeshift time. And I really have to be laser focused. There's no distractions around me. We got to lay it all out. And I just work on one product at a time until I feel, okay, we need a break. Reel it in a little.
So like you can't listen to things while you do it. You have to be pretty focused.
It depends. Sometimes I can. Sometimes I'll work on my playlists or my yoga classes during it. But then I'm like, oh no, okay, wait, did I just put in here? My brain sometimes, if my kids are running around or asking me a lot of questions, like, well, you guys, your mom, 5 minutes, let me wrap this up. And then once I get everything mixed, I'm fine. Then I can have a little distractions, but I'm a very zone in and I got to do one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like a chemist?
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
You can have fun beakers.
I do.
Oh, awesome. Do you feel like it connects you to your past that the table is from your family farm? You're like making these things with your ancestors.
Yeah, our table feels like the history of my family. That was where my dad grew up. That's where my dad lives now. That was my childhood. I feel like every layer brings me a lot of joy. And sometimes I thought of like, where can I rent that I can set up somewhere? Maybe long term that feels right. But right now it's slowly just compressed into how it's meant to. And it feels good and authentic.
Yeah.
So who are some of your favorite creative people? And you can interpret that however you wish.
Yeah. So honestly, I don't have a specific one. When I started my own business, I really looked up to, and I still do, Ashley from Unglued. She's in Fargo. Just to be in their energy, it feels good. And then as I moved this way, I started to try to find my community and starting to get to know other local small businesses like New Roots, and those people are what light me up. Empowering each other. It's not a competition. Even if we do the same thing, I want us to come together and uplift everyone. That's what really feels good and gets that inspiration going, because we've been able to collaborate on things and you've been able to help me, and I hope just being in my energy helps. Not that there's always that exchange, but I'm thankful for every creative person that I've met, and I've learned and grown with them, and I look up to them in every aspect.
I love that store too, Unglued. Yeah. Dawn, have you been there? Do you know that store?
No, where in Fargo is it?
It used to be downtown. Now it's in Drecker. And I haven't actually been to the new location, but I used to sell my Little Ditty there. And then they are now in a brewery. Have you been in the new part?
I have, yeah. It's really nice. Dawn, have you heard about that new brewery they have in Fargo?
I did go to Fargo South High School, but I don't really keep up with the town.
Yeah, she lives in New York City now.
Oh,
yeah. So there's a brewery and it's nice, and there's lots of little shops there. And Unglued is great because they have all sorts of people who make things. And I've gone there many times to try to find new people who are making interesting things, interesting small light things I can put in consecrate.
Yeah. Do you feel connected into very small towns doing creative things and alternate healers? I went to Fargo South High School. I live in New York City. No one here would think that's happening in a tiny town in Minnesota. No one. They would argue with me. They would tell me I'm wrong. And yet I meet people all the time. You're not the first to be doing Reiki. I can't even there. But I've had a couple sessions of it. It's great. Yeah. They would not believe me. You're in this tiny town doing that and you're a master of it. What is that network? Help the people from the city. this movement that's real.
When I was in Fargo, that's where I lived before. That's where I learned about it. And then I moved this way and I knew nobody who did it. And so I traveled back and forth to Fargo. And then now over the past, I don't know, 11 years, I think, it really expanded. There's more people out there. There's more healing. They're all finding their own innate process in it, which is beautiful. It looks different for everyone, and it should. So I feel like right now, as I start to teach it more, I'm starting to find my own community within it and finding that empowering of other women. I have had a few men, but I feel like women are just more open to the experience and are really looking at diving deeper. But yeah, like I'm still finding that community of like-minded people in all the areas, whether it's the creative making, that Reiki, energy work, the yoga. When you find your people, it feels right.
Yeah. I love that you have enough of an audience that you're renting a space.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, it's still a little slow. I'm still trying to find my people. And I still believe that we should experience other people, too. I don't feel like we should be dependent on one person because we all bring different gifts to the table. And I really hope people open their eyes to that and be able to feel into people's energy. And I feel like we all find each other in different seasons in our life. And I think it's beautiful. Like, we should all celebrate. We shouldn't be in competition. If we're doing it from a place of love and heart, yeah, just empower each other.
Yeah. I mean, I remember growing up, I grew up in this area about 45 minutes from here. You would never back then have found a yoga studio in any of these towns. But now I would say most of the little towns around here have a studio. Detroit Lakes, Pelican Rapids, Park Rapids, all of them I can think of. Yeah. And when you start to find, like you said, like-minded people who are interested in growing and interested in these things, and you learn from each other. But that is funny though, Dawn. I totally agree with you that people who live in large cities would never guess there's so many interesting things happening.
They just have this abstract, our food comes from there.
It's just this flight concept of something is happening.
We're too busy farming and then growing our gardens too.
Diane, how do you see your creativity and your spirituality connect? You've touched on this in some ways, but would you want to say more about that?
Yeah, especially in this season of my life. I feel like everything I try to do and put out there into the universe and into the divine, I just feel like I'm being guided. Like, I feel the yes in my body. I feel it resonates with me. I'm a very clairvoyant person, so I get these visions. And so I'll be like washing dishes and, oh, you need to do this. I'm like, oh, really? Let me think on that. So sometimes I have to just like take a little note and really just sit and meditate with it, pray on it if it feels right for me and my growth. And sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to roll with it. But I just listen to myself. I just feel that connection of I'm being guided in the right direction. I feel like when we just listen to ourselves and we get that very in tune listening and just trusting ourselves, that's when we just open up much more than we could ever imagine, rather than just running through the motions and then we're just exhausted and drained and then we can't hear and we can't listen. So how can we expand and how can we grow if we're just constantly just trying to survive?
Yeah, we were just talking about that last night, about how you're able to sit and be quiet in yoga. Like, sometimes that's just what we need, is to be able to have a quiet place, whether it's yoga or anywhere, but to create a quiet space to listen for what the next steps is.
Like the Quakers.
Yeah.
Their whole gathering is just quiet and see if somebody feels called to talk.
When in the reality, sometimes we just can't. It's hard. It's not, oh yeah, I'm going to tune in right now. Yeah, I got it. No, it takes a practice. It's like anything, showing up for yourself, showing up to church, doing the steps that you need to take to feel that connection.
It's of writing 3 pages every morning and just seeing what flows out. And over time, it's amazing to see what bubbles up every day when you do write those pages every day.
And that's like a lot of times when I do energy work, like on some people, it's just that throat chakra, like we're not expressing, if we're not saying it, how can we express it? So being able to free write and get it out of our body can be such a beautiful thing.
You have a very embodied spirituality.
Yes.
Yoga, obviously, but other thing, the way you talk.
I just feel like I really just embraced it. More so this past year, it was finally time and ready. My daughter was just getting a little bit older. She's still young. But where I said start to find myself again. I had 2 years where I lost myself. And I was like, oh, I'm back to motherhood full time. how do I do that?
I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm exhausted and drained. I'm surviving right now. And that's okay. That was my season of my life then. And right now I'm just, what's next? And I don't know what it is, yeah. but it's going to happen.
Well, as you think about those words, what's next?
To kind of just being the free spirit, which in my college, that's not a good business plan at all. Like you got to pay rent and you got to pay the bill. I'm just, for me, I'm just rolling to the motions. I'm just taking one step at a time and really trusting the process, which is hard. But I feel like I'm being protected. The money is going to show up. I'm going to find the abundance to pay what I need to. And long term, I just feel like the growth of my online presence with my products. And I'm slowly finding it where my products are going outward. We had California and then North Carolina out there.
Are there places in North Carolina and California that are carrying your products?
I am trying to expand my wholesale. Ideally, that's where I would like to start to get bigger shipments out. Some of that logistics feels scary because some signs to a breakable, fragile glass. Yeah, so it's just, I'm just trying to be patient with myself, not just pushing money out to try to find, but that is part of owning a business, finding the right system, that trial and error, and that growth. So yeah, wholesale kind of where I'm leading at and trying to expand the product and finding time to bring in new products that feel in alignment for me. Maybe starting to expand and bringing in other makers, potentially.
The things that you make, you know, they're the perfect size for subscription boxes out there. Like, I wonder if there's a way that you can get more connected with subscription box owners.
That's a good idea.
You had a convention, Ruth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I went to a convention.
Looking for stuff at the convention?
I'm trying to think. There weren't a ton of vendors there. It was mostly people who had the boxes. These are things we talk about all the time. So there's online groups where people are asking, where do you source your stuff? But I'll have to think about that more, Diane, about places to connect you more.
Yeah, and taking the time to scour through TikTok or Instagram and find people that you can connect with there that kind of resonate with you. And just sliding into their DMs and just saying, hey, hi. I feel like that's how my journey has progressed from little bitty to now. Made it pop in that organic, natural way of, hey, I follow you. I just like your vibe, your energy. Would you want to collaborate? I just feel like that's how things have opened up. Yeah, without it feeling forced.
Are there places, I wonder, like spa places also could partner with you?
I'm kind of deciding to branch out. I don't want to oversaturate it. So I'm slowly trying to reach out and then putting the word in. I get some no's and that's okay. Like I try not to let it defeat me because it's not the right time. And maybe it's not the right time for me or the right time for them. And I know small business in the winter is sometimes like it's their slow season. Wow. Then so when summer hits and people are looking for new products and they'll start to go up. Then
you're wanting to pull in the right contacts, not push and try and find them.
And that's been my past. Like I've worked situations. I didn't listen to my body and I was like, oh, why did I do that? Like a lot of times I did consignment, which was great. I got my stuff out there, but then I felt like I was pushing products and not necessarily receiving the money in. And then all my stuff was just spread out all over. So I'm trying to be really smart. And that fourth situation, I've been trying to push in the wholesale. It's an ebb and flow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very zen.
No, that's just not the right business idea. And I do have my like 1 to 3 months. I have my manifestations that I want to bring in. And I'm just trusting and praying over it and knowing that the right people will show up when they're meant to and the right connections will show up. And even if they don't, I still feel like I'm in the right path and I feel good about it. I do get pulled in different directions from time to time, but I have to reel myself back in.
I feel like it's working for you because when I think about how it's grown from the time I met you a few years ago, it's growing and you do a good job. I wanted to mention too, Diane will go live on Facebook or Instagram. You go live pretty often and talk about what you're doing. Do you feel comfortable doing that?
No. I typically, if I do live, I do get nervous. Like, oh, I'm going to say the wrong things, but we're human. I just did a video and I was like, hi, I'm Diane from Little Diddy. And I was like, No, I'm not. I used to be little bitty. I feel like that makes us human. I feel like we can connect with the person.
People love that.
Yeah, rather than fry. I'm cookie cutter. I got this. This is me. I am who I am. Even when I teach, I screw up. I feel like we resonate with people who can just show their realness and their human side and not going to go through a class or a line and have everything perfected because that's sure not me.
So for people who might be listening that want to be as go with the flow as you in your business, what would you say about your mortgage being paid? How do your kids have health insurance? How are you sure everyone will eat? Because you're not talking like somebody who's making sure they're paying their mortgage.
Right. So for me, this is very side business.
Okay, great.
But right now, my husband can make sure all the bills are paid. I help towards daycare, a little above and beyond. When I can pick up more yoga classes, I put that into savings to help run our system. Yeah. I'm not helping pay the regular bills. And right now it works. It really depends on your season of life. There may come a day where it won't. And then that maybe means more of that hustle and grind. And then maybe that would put more fire under my butt to really push and connect more with people. But right now I have a couple months where the kids are left in school and I'm trying to embrace like taking a yoga class and finding myself more. And still managing time where I can book sessions and explore. Right now, I'm just in this exploration of what this next 3 months look like.
I think that's something that I never really realized at all before I started my own business was how much about seasons and paying attention to right now. It makes sense to focus more on this part and you have to lean into other parts and you're always constantly reassessing where to put your focus, I think.
And it's hard not to get in our heads of what are we doing wrong? Like, why is it slow right now? Why aren't my sales up? I get it. I worked retail all the way from when I was 14 up until I think like 28. And then I've dabbled here and there locally. I've been helping some businesses off and on throughout the years. So I've seen in different retail places of their seasons and when their school time is and that everyone's dealing with it from time to time. And it's okay. And it's okay to feel frustrated because we're like, I really need to pay this bill.
But the world is going to be what the world is going to be.
Exactly.
So we just roll.
And at the same time, do we force it and maybe miss bigger opportunities? Or do we sit back and do we just trust that, okay, I know I'm going to put this out there, that I'm being protected and being guided, the abundance will flow through me. It's going to be okay.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate your perspective so much, Diane, and thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about your journey a little bit. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Created Creative.
Please follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Created Creative Podcast. Please also follow, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcast.
And hey, go create something.
Go create something!